All right, get ready to explore something really interesting. Today, we're taking a deep dive into economic inequality in Turkey.
Really digging into wealth distribution.
Exactly, going way beyond just the usual talk about income inequality.
Which is important, but in Turkey, wealth inequality is really its own puzzle to unpack.
And to help us crack that puzzle, we're turning to some really insightful research from Torul and Astunalu back in 2018.
They used a model, and it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, it's interesting because when you look at income inequality in Turkey, it's actually been fairly stable.
Higher than the average, right? For developed countries, at least.
Exactly. And in fact, it's the highest in all of Europe.
But still lower than the US.
Correct. Lower than the US.
Yeah.
But, and this is key, the wealth gap is a whole other story.
It's like we're talking about two completely different economic landscapes.
Precisely. And what makes this research so compelling is that there's not a lot of data out there about who owns what in Turkey.
And that's where this model comes in, right? This whole idea of simulating the Turkish economy.
You got it. The Ayaguri model, it's like creating a mini Turkey inside a computer.
So it's like a Sim City for wealth distribution.
Exactly. They took everything they knew about Turkey's economy back in 2014, actual data points.
Give me an example.
Sure, like the income Gini coefficient, which was 0.39 at the time. You familiar with that?
Okay, so refresh my memory on what that measures again.
Oh, it's just a way to measure how evenly something is spread out.
Yeah.
Zero means everyone's got the same amount, and one means one person's got it all.
Gotcha. So 0.39 for income inequality, that's pretty high.
Yeah, it's up there. But get this, they figured the wealth Gini coefficient for 2014 was a whopping 0.78.
Whoa. Okay, now we're talking. So they plugged all of this into their economic sim city. What happened?
Well, the model ended up being incredibly accurate at mirroring the real Turkish economy.
Like what? Give me an example.
For instance, it predicted that the top 10% of earners in Turkey hold almost 80% of the wealth, incredibly close to the actual figure of 77.7%.
Wow, okay. That is a tiny sliver of the population holding a massive chunk of the wealth. So, what does this actually mean for people living in Turkey? What are the real-life implications?
Think of it this way. If income distribution is like rolling hills, wealth distribution is a steep, steep mountain.
Okay, I'm starting to get a picture here. And it's not just about who gets to sit at the top of that mountain, right? What are some of the consequences of having this kind of extreme wealth concentrated in such a small group?
Oh, it affects everything.
Like what?
Well, think about getting a loan, for example, trying to start a business.
Okay, yeah.
In Turkey, what you can offer as collateral, how much risk you can afford to take, that's way more about your overall wealth than just your income level.
So it's like if you're already up that wealth mountain, you're not just starting higher.
Right.
You've got better equipment, you probably got a guide.
Exactly. It's like having a head start in a race where most people are still, like, tying their shoes.
Right.
And it's not just individuals.
What do you mean?
Think about how economic policies, even the ones that are meant to help everyone,
Yeah.
they can actually end up making that wealth gap even bigger.
So a policy, say, that cuts taxes to boost the economy.
Exactly.
Everyone benefits on paper, but.
But it's a drop in the bucket if you're already at the top of that mountain.
Right.
Or imagine interest rates change.
Okay.
When so much wealth is concentrated like it is in Turkey,
Yeah.
those changes can actually benefit the wealthy more than anyone else.
Interesting.
And that brings us to what I think is one of the most important takeaways from this research, this idea of welfare cost.
Okay, so break that down for me.
It's this idea that even if you're doing okay in the current system,
Yeah.
you might actually be better off, happier even, in a society that was more equal.
Even if it meant having a little less yourself.
Yeah, even if you had a little bit less.
Yeah.
Because everyone would be better off overall.
So how do you even measure something like that? Like, did they go out and ask people?
Chuckles. No, it's not quite that simple.
Yeah.
They use this really complex economic model
Okay.
to figure out what people would be willing to give up in a perfectly equal society compared to, the reality of Turkey in 2014.
So what did they find? What's the price tag, so to speak, on a more equal Turkey?
This is what's amazing. The model showed that people would be willing to give up a lot. Like a significant amount of what they consume.
Really? How
A
much?
full 43%, if you can believe it, if they didn't have to work.
Wow.
Or, get this, 25% of their consumption, but they'd have to work 33% more hours.
So essentially, they're saying, look, I'd accept a lower standard of living, or I'd work way more hours if it meant we could somehow escape this crazy level of inequality.
It's a powerful finding.
Yeah.
It shows just how much this inequality weighs on people, how much they want something different.
It's not just some abstract number on an economist's spreadsheet.
Exactly. This is about well-being, about opportunity.
About the kind of future you can even dream of.
Exactly. And, you know, this is where having more detailed data becomes really, really important.
Because?
Well, as good as this model is, it's limited by what was available back in 2014. You know?
So it's like trying to solve a giant puzzle, but with only half the pieces?
It's exactly like that. You need all those pieces to really address this problem effectively.
It makes you wonder how much has changed, right?
Yeah. 2014, it feels like a different world.
Like, how did the pandemic impact things?
Right. Exactly.
Did it make these inequalities worse, or?
And what about the policies that governments put in place?
Did they help the people who needed it most? It's like this whole other layer to the puzzle.
And that's what makes this research so valuable. Even though it was from a few years ago.
It gives us a starting point.
It helps us ask the right questions about what's going on in Turkey right now.
So, like, when I hear about some new economic policy or some big global event,
right,
I can't help but think, how is this going to affect that wealth mountain?
Exactly. Who's going to benefit and who's going to get left behind?
It's made me realize just how important it is to think about wealth inequality.
Yeah, it's often hidden. You know,
it's not something we talk about as much as income inequality, but it's just as important,
if not more. This deep dive has really been eye-opening.
It has. So where do we go from here? What's the takeaway for all of us listening?
Well, I think this conversation is a great first step.
Becoming aware of the problem.
Exactly. Now you're asking the right question. So keep digging.
Keep learning.
Don't let this be the end of it. The more we understand about wealth inequality, the better chance we have of actually doing something about it.
Because knowledge is power.
Exactly. When we understand how wealth is distributed and how it affects people's lives, we can start to demand better policies, you know?
Policies that create a fairer system for everyone.
Exactly. A system where everyone has a chance to succeed, not just those at the top of the mountain.
I love that. That's a great note to end on. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. We hope this has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to keep exploring these really crucial issues.